You want to say something really bad about somebody, call them an Edomite. I'll tell you why on this edition of Key Life.
Hello, this is Mike Kellogg. Key Life, getting you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness to Christ. Our Bible teacher is Steve Brown. And here's Steve with a teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Obadiah. And what I'm doing is giving you a mini history lesson about the Edomites. And you say, that's really what I need, man. I've got marriage problems, can't make the mortgage, I lost my job, my kid's on drugs, I'm not even sure God's there anymore, and you're going to give me a history lesson on the Edomites? Listen, you got to stay with me, because God doesn't put anything in the Bible that doesn't have a reason. And we're going to find some genuinely exciting reasons as we look at what God says about the Edomites. Now, let me continue with a history lesson. Remember, I started some 1,500, 2,000 years before the birth of Christ. We talked about Abraham and Esau and Jacob. We talk about how Israel was formed out of trickery and deception and a lie that would make a gangster proud. And by the way, that's how the church was formed, too. You know, God took a bunch of really bad people and loved them. And so don't get into an anti-Semitic kind of thing. They were stiff-necked. You are, too. Besides, you were grafted on as branches. But Israel does not have a wonderful root system. I mean, it was born in some really bad stuff. Now, you got to say that Jacob tried to fix it, but he didn't do very good with it. Out of Esau came the Edomites, and there was this... They got together at their daddy's funeral, but that was it, man. There was a lot of bad stuff. And then we saw that some 500 years later, now you got to remember that Esau and Jacob have gone the way of all flesh. They're with their forefathers. It's over for them. They're dead as doornails. But 500 years later, Moses wants to lead the people of God over, and you gotta remember, Joshua was the one who did it, but Moses wanted to do it, never made it. Wanted to lead the people of God into the promised land. Now, in order to get to the place where they wanted to get, they had to cross over the land of the Edomites. So they went to the Edomites and asked the Edomites if the Edomites would let them cross over. And they said, no. Not only no. We've got armies, and you're in serious trouble. And some really now, over the next 900 years, five times the Edomites joined with the enemies of Israel to invade, sack, and plunder God's people. In Obadiah, we see the judgment against the Edomites because they followed after the Babylonians to sack Jerusalem. Now, before we trace this story any further, I want to take a moment and give you a sample of some of the prophecies relating to the Edomites throughout the Old Testament. This is going to be helpful, and you probably didn't know this. I didn't until I studied it, and you begin to find them everywhere. Nobody likes the Edomites. If you want to say something really bad about something you don't like, and if you were a Christian, you wouldn't, after all that Jesus has done for you. But just in case you wanted to say something really bad, call them an Edomite. I mean, that's about the worst thing you can say. Isaiah 34:5, for my sword has drunk its full in the heavens. Behold, it descends for judgment upon Edom, upon the people I have doomed. Jeremiah 49, concerning Edom, thus says the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more, and Teman? Has counsel perished from the prudent? Has wisdom vanished? Flee, turn back, dwell in the depths, O inhabitants. For I will bring calamity of Esau upon him the time when I punish him. Lamentations 4:21. Now, the writer of Lamentations, and if you've been listening, you know this, is mourning over the fall of Jerusalem. And the thing that really ticks him off is that Edom is rejoicing. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, dweller in the land of Uz. But to you also the cup shall pass. You shall become drunk and strip yourself bare. Ezekiel 25, 12 through 14, thus says the Lord, because Edom acted revengefully against the house of Judah and is grievously offended in taking vengeance upon them. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I will stretch out my hand against Edom. And then it goes on and gets worse. Amos 1:11, among the nations denounced by Amos, to get a crowd, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom and for four, I will not revoke the punishment because he pursued his brother with a sword. Malachi 1:4-5, if Edom says we are shattered, but we will rebuild the ruins, the Lord of hosts says, they may build, but I'm going to tear down. Till they are called the wicked country, the people with whom the Lord is angry forever. Your own eyes shall see this, and you shall say, great is the Lord, beyond the border of Israel. Not go on and on. That's enough. You get the picture. Matter of fact, Edom is one of the really bad countries in the Bible. If you want to insult somebody, as I said, especially if you want to insult a Jewish friend who knows his Bible, call him or her not Goyim, that's bad enough, or Goyim, call them Edomites, and then you're going to be in trouble. All right, the next incident I want you to see isn't recorded in the Bible. It took place in the intertestamental period during the Maccabean revolt against Rome. Judas Maccabeus fought against the Romans, and no, I'm not going to go into detail, but they did. And Rome ate their lunch. I mean, absolutely wiped them out. In 55 B.C., some 2,000 years from the first incident with the two boys, Jacob and Esau fighting in their mother's womb, an Edomite was appointed by Julius Caesar to be the leader of Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. In 37 B.C., his son Herod became the leader and had himself crowned the king of the Jews. It was this Herod who slaughtered the innocents and forced the parents of Jesus to flee to Egypt. Some 30 years later, another Edomite by the name of Herod had Jesus brought before him and for one brief moment had the opportunity to free him and change history and to reverse the thousands of years of Edomite history. But he refused. And Jesus was crucified. Now, I'm not finished. One other thing. The year 70 A.D., Titus was making his way to Jerusalem from Rome for its final destruction. The Edomites were by then incorporated into the main body of the Jewish people for all intents and purposes of Rome. They were admitted to Jerusalem to help defend the city, but according to Josephus, the historian, after 20,000 Edomites were admitted to Jerusalem, they proceeded to revert to form and proceed to rape and rob and kill, sparing neither priests nor people in their orgy of blood. When Jerusalem fell, the Edomites ceased to exist as a people, and the ancient prophecy of Genesis was fulfilled, made some 2,080 years before, Edom died by the sword as Edom had lived. So that's the historical lesson. And what I'm going to do today and tomorrow and probably on Friday is to lift up some lessons we can learn from that. Let me give you one today. The root of bitterness is a lot more important and dangerous than most people suppose. Cape Cod, where I spent the early years of my ministry, is an interesting place. In fact, I guess if I were to point to a place that I really, really love and have fond memories of, maybe more than any other, it would be Cape Cod. I love Cape Cod. My wife has just gotten back from Boston and Cape Cod, where she spent some time with some friends that we have after all these years who live on Cape Cod. But Cape Cod, when we were there, is quite provincial. I think I've told you, the tourists always ask, what do you guys do down here in the winter? And the Cape Codders always say with one voice, we fumigate. Cape Codders love to give the wrong directions because they just don't like tourists, but they got to have them in order to live. But if you live on Cape Cod, there are family quarrels that go back three, four, five generations. I had a 90-year-old lady in the church that I served on Cape Cod who refused to become a Christian, refused to be baptized, and refused to have anything to do with anybody in the church because there had been a fight between the Sears and the Krolls three generations before. Let me tell you something I've discovered. Everybody else's anger and bitterness is silly, but not yours. I love to be on the outside of a real bad fight where bitterness is beginning to build up and preach my sermon against bitterness. I mean, I have a wonderful sermon against bitterness and hostility and anger. The root of bitterness, the Bible calls it, and what it'll do to you, how it'll kill you inside, destroy your walk with Jesus and your witness. You ought to hear me. But you ought to see what happens when I'm the one who's really ticked, who's dealing with bitterness, who's really angry. Now, that is a different matter altogether. The truth is, and this book of Obadiah allows us to see it, that that bitterness that starts in your heart can go for generations, can really hurt people and to destroy the witness of Christ. That's why Jesus said that it was so important that we forgive as we have been forgiven. So, think of somebody who ticks you off. Do something about it. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen up. I got a great booklet for you. Free. It's called Christmas Meditations. Now, these are things that I've written about Christmas, some familiar and some not so familiar. We'd love to send it to you absolutely free. Christmas is coming, and this is the best time to begin to think about it. And you can use this as a devotional base during the Christmas season. Let me give you a number or an address or an email where you can get this, and it's absolutely free. Call 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day, or write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address and ask for Christmas Meditations. Hey, listen, if you could help us financially, oh, man, I would be so pleased. Pray about it, because I believe that God has called some of you, not all of you, but some of you to stand with us, and in standing with us, to stand with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You can charge your contribution on your MasterCard Visa Discover card included in your envelope, and for any contribution of any size, I'll include as my thank you when you request it the cassette teaching The Assets of Weakness, The Power of Grace. Hey, I gotta go, but first I must say, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.